Chapter 6. Twice the Bargain. The rain-soaked deck of the Fair Trader nearly slid out from under Tanner's feet several times as he made his way from the crew quarters to those of Captain Zane. "You would think 20 years of sword-fighting would give me better balance than a deckhand," Tanner thought as he watched the crew walk about like nothing was amiss. He slumped against the captain's door, his shoulders impact standing in for his first knock.
"Captain Zane!" he shouted over the wind.
"Come in, Mr. Tanner," a calm voice called from within. Tanner ripped open the door and hung on by it until he was safely within the captain's cabin. He dripped from every part of him, and the trip had only been half the length of the ship.
"Thanks, Captain. Don't mind me asking, but don't you usually man the wheel in a storm?"
"A bit of rain. Heavy, I grant you, but no proper storm. Those lads would think less of me for making a drama of it," Captain Zane answered. He was working in a ledger, and turned his attention back to it as he finished. Tanner had the sense to wait until he gained the captain's attention before blustering onward. At length, the captain pushed the ledger aside, leaving it open so that the ink might dry.
"I despise sums, but no one else about is fit to do them for me. What excuse have you brought me this morning, Mr. Tanner?"
"I hadn't thought of it that way," Tanner said. "I suppose I ought to complain I don't know where to bring the kid, now that I've got him. I guess that's as good a reason as any why I haven't delivered him yet."
"You have him?"
Denric leaped from his writing desk, knocking the chair over.
"On an airship, just waiting on a place to bring him."
"How did you come by an airship?" Denric asked, eyes narrowing. He pulled back from Tanner, his exuberance gone with a change of the wind.
"I took some of your man Stalyart's advice. I lied to Kyrus. This whole business wasn't getting done if you two had to work out an agreement. He couldn't meet your terms and you didn't trust his. So I changed your terms."
"And just what have I agreed to?" Denric asked. He crossed his arms and twisted up his face in a sneer.
"You're willing to wait on delivery of Rashan's head. Boy for the staff. With the head once Kyrus can manage it. He thinks he needs the staff to do it. And you agreed."
"No."
"Oh, come on, Cap'n," Tanner said,
imitating the crew's familiar usage of his title.
"You think I don't know that?
Spit.
I doubt Kyrus believes it. But this way he doesn't have to lie to Rashan about why he gave up the kid. I don't think he wanted him around either."
"He cannot have the staff. I still intend to kill Rashan Solaran myself. Though I would happily see his head perched on a spike. I shall not relinquish my claim on it meekly. Did you depart entirely from our plan, or did you still tell him about the demon of Azat?"
"I told him all right. Don't know if he'll go see this Zizix of yours, but you got his attention at least. I already left Cadrus, so it's not like I can go back and warn him. Is it a trap or something?"
"Mr. Tanner, why for all the sunken gold in the Katamic would I tell you if it was? Even if you are aboard an airship, you could just turn about and return to Cadrus."
"Yeah, but I was curious, and I won't. A deal's a deal, and I'm good on my word."
"You're getting that kid of yours back as soon as you tell me where to bring him," Tanner said. A sudden roll of the ship threw Tanner against the wall as Denric considered what to tell him. The old seaman's legs moved reflexively with the motion of the ship. He hardly moved, fixing Tanner with an equally unmoving glare.
"How well do you know Kesh?" Denric asked at length.
"Kesh is a big place. I know some of it," Tanner said with a shrug. "The northern regions, in particular the northeast," Denric clarified.
"Been all over Mongrel Kesh."
Tanner used the informal name for the northern regions, where the mixing of blood was common and foreigners nearly outnumbered native Keshi.
"I don't speak the language, so I've never spent much time in the south. Hope you're not expecting me to be a cartographer, though. I know the city signs at the crossroads when I'm in Kesh."
"Do you know Kandalgar?" Denric asked.
"Sounds familiar. What does he look like?"
Tanner asked by way of reply.
"Kandalgar is a city, you sword-brained lout. Have you been there? Do you know where to find it in Kesh?"
"Ask some local? Usually I ask two or three, and if their stories agree, I take it as true."
"You are truly worthless."
Denric shook his head. "Get over here."
Denric moved to a table covered with navigational charts and began digging through a pile of maps.
Tanner attempted to peer over his shoulder, but needed to hold on to one of the ceiling beams to steady himself. He had eaten well just before the storm began and was regretting it.
Here. Denric stabbed a finger down on a bright Akkadian Navy map, showing the northern region of Kesh and the surrounding waters. Tanner saw Kandalgar on the coast.
Where's that? About where Gelk and the Ogrelands run into each other? Tanner asked.
Finally, yes.
Denric slapped a hand to his forehead.
That is the spot I will meet you. How long will it take you to get there?
Well, Tanner said, trying to put on a smile despite the clenching sensation in his gut, threatening to eject his breakfast. That depends on how we work out a few other details.
Your payment? Denric asked.
I'm thinking about doubling it.
I can still toss you into the Katamic if you think to hold my boy hostage like the rest of them tried, Denric said, turning fully toward Tanner.
Hear me out. You've got two sons, right? Tanner asked. One here, one there.
Denric perked up. You mean to find Jaden, too?
Why? Couple reasons. One, so I can get off this stinking ship. And two, so I'm not lined up in your cannon's range in both worlds at once. You've threatened to toss me into the Katamic enough times for me to wonder what's kept you from doing it. Near as I can figure, my dying scream gets heard in one world. I've got friends who can hunt you down in both. You make me disappear. No one knows, and you're in clear seas.
How delightfully convoluted. Had you considered, maybe, that I was just more prudent than to waste my only line of communication to my enemies?
Tanner paused a moment, his protruding brow growing furrowed.
I want to go with Stalyart. This world's Stalyart, Tanner said, eluding the question of whether he had overthought his predicament.
I've already sent the one in Vaedrus to go find you there.
You've met Stalyart on the other side? Denric asked, raising an eyebrow.
Tanner noticed the pirate's hand sliding toward his pistol.
It's not cocked. I've got one pace and a lunge to run him through.
We're not plotting anything. I mean, we are, but not against you.
Oh, have it out, man. Enough word dancing.
Tanner took a deep breath and tried again. It's like this. Stalyart meets up with you in Vaedrus. We go find Stalyart's Merciful, and I go off with him. The two of us land into Kalia and start looking for Jaden. Meanwhile, I drop off Anzik and head back to Cadrus. I tell Kyrus that you poofed away with the boy and the staff. You can still send messages back and forth with him, just with Stalyart added to the chain. Kyrus can talk to me, and I talk to Stalyart, who talks to you.
Denric's hand stopped inching toward his pistol and went to his forehead again. Just stop dripping near my maps and get out of here.
Hey, one last thing. If you've got any other coin blades out there looking for the kid, call them off. I don't want to cross blades over this if I don't have to.
I'm afraid those cannons already fired, Mr. Tanner. These are not hunting dogs to be recalled with a whistle. You shall have to deal with the fellows as you find them.
Yakina was cosmopolitan enough that a pair of foreigners did not stand out so much, especially so near the harbor. Every manner of legal trade was carried out in the makeshift marketplace of wharves and docks, strictly overseen by Takalish officials. The less reputable sort of commerce took place as well, but more quietly than in most cities. Still, Stalyart's Merciful was able to take up a berth for long enough that he and Tanner could lose themselves in the city before anyone recognized them as pirates.
"How did you ever manage to convince Captain Zane to go along with our plan?" Stalyart asked,
his habitual grin in full splendor.
"I think he got sick of listening to me," Tanner replied.
He pushed his way through the crowd to keep up with the jovial pirate as they left the Yakina waterfront.
"Still better than getting tossed into the sea."
"Indeed," Stalyart replied. "We should find a place for us to talk and to plan.
I assume you have given some small thought to this," Stalyart asked.
"Small one, yeah. Biggest thing for me is getting back to Cadrus on the other side. Should be 2 or 3 days," Tanner shrugged.
"Until then, we enjoy the sights. Drink some fine Takalish rotgut and ask around if anyone's heard of Wendell the Wizard."
"It is pretty here," Stalyart agreed, looking about at the buildings with the clear blue sky as a backdrop. "You can see the Narak influence clearly."
Wouldn't know. Never traveled that far north, Tanner said. Never needed to.
Ah, yes. The Cadzonan Empire has everything, Stalyard said, smirking at Tanner. Wealth, power, endless opportunities, too. Eat a knife, Stalyard. You know I'm just a swordsman in the army. I do my traveling this side. Might do for a bit of change, though, if I make good with Kyrus.
Tell me, Mr. Tanner, do you lie to Captain Zane as much as you have lied to Mr. Hinterdale?
Stalyard asked.
I would not tell him, of course. I am merely curious. I lie to him with regularity.
Stop with that Mr. stuff. We're not on a boat anymore. And yeah, maybe a little. He had me bent over a railing, though, so I kept to the onboard side of the truth.
More de pity, Stalyard said, taking a sudden turn down a side street. Tanner hastened after him.
The captain could use more liars around him. He should not let his mind go soft, believing everything he hears.
The 5 Darshi coin rolled over tiny fingers in a series of awkward flips. Index finger to pinky, pinky back to index finger. The coin fell more often than it completed the journey cleanly. Zelasan watched in fascination, not with Jaden's skill or style, but with his stubborn persistence.
Look at him, Zell said. Kid's been up since just after dawn. Aside from when you made him stop for breakfast, he's been at it all morning.
It is magic. Coins do not roll, but that one does, you see, Wendell explained.
Eccles roll just fine. Give him one of those.
That is not the point. He is learning magic. It all starts with a firm basis in sleight of hand.
Magic, eh? Just parlor tricks by the look of it. You use real magic in your shows.
I can tell the difference, Zell said.
A sudden impulse made him pick up the helm at his feet.
Let's see if he's using your way, or cheating a bit.
Zell put on the helm, watching Jaden as he did. The instant the magical circlet concealed within touched his head, the world of light was overlaid with a stunning view of the ether. So vivid was the detail that he could even make out vague outlines of sourceless objects.
Havoc, Zelasan cursed.
He leaped from his chair and rushed to the window.
They found us again. Get packed. We're leaving by the window. I'll hold them off.
How many? Wendell asked, already stuffing everything he could lay hands on into their packs. Zelasan drew the longer of his swords. The rune's glow was non-existent. He could only see it by the strange effect the runes had as they passed through ether.
4. No, make that 6, I think. They station lookouts.
Come on, Jaden, time to go. Wendell put a hand on the boy's arm in an attempt to pry his attention from the coin. Jaden pulled away with a wordless grunt of frustration. The coin fell to the floor. Jaden ignored Wendell to retrieve it.
Jaden, men are coming to hurt us. We have to go, now.
I'm busy, leave me alone, Jaden said. He sounded irritated, which was an improvement in a way, though it came at an inconvenient time. Zelasan watched the doorway, seeing through the walls and down the hall to the stairway at the end. Their would-be assailants still acted as if they had the element of surprise on their side, creeping soundlessly toward their room.
Jaden, there are times for practicing with coins, and there are times...
Give me that, Zell said, judging that he had a moment to spare.
He snatched the coin from Jaden's fingers and tossed it out the window.
Go get your coin back and you can practice some more.
What did you do that for? Wendell said in a whispering equivalent of a shout, more mindful of their stalkers than Zell. As if in answer to Wendell's question, Jaden made a faint wailing sound as he rushed to the window in distress to look for his coin. Zell shrugged.
Go help him down.
Zell matched Wendell's harsh whisper.
I'll catch up when I can.
He knew he took much for granted. Wendell was no young man to be climbing out windows. At his age, a slip could easily kill him. Jaden, on the other hand, was light, with supple limbs all children have before they flesh out in muscle and their bones grow sturdy. Clumsy though he might be, Zell knew Wendell could drop him a story to the ground and only need worry about skinned knees and crying. As the bounty hunters drew close, Zell spared a quick peek once more. Lifting the circlet from his head just long enough to judge the distance to the door, he set himself a good pace back
and settled into ether vision. 4 men stopped outside the door. To their credit, Zell heard nothing from their approach and would have been oblivious if not for the helm. He saw them clearly enough that he could count the fingers that one of them was holding up. 4, 3, 2. Zell lurched for the door, shoulder leading, just as 2 of the men hunting for Jaden mirrored him. The bounty hunters hit the door first, snapping the latch with a crack of wood. Zell struck an instant later, slamming the door shut in their faces before they so much as glimpsed inside. Zell tried to jam his blade through the door with his momentum, but came closer to disarming himself than penetrating the thick oak. Dratted thing. Where's Soria to fill it back up with ether? He realized how accustomed he had grown to the added sharpness that the ruined blade had when properly maintained. But Wendell's source was too weak for filling even such paltry runes. Zell realized he was not going to gain a quick victory by sniffing out the ambush. He wrenched the stuck tip of his sword free of the door and spun away. The 2 men who had been leaning against the door after the mutual impact toppled into the room. The sources all looked much the same to Zell, washing out all hint of color and any physical clue that might tell him where his attackers had come from. One shouted in something that sounded like Feru, and pointed to the window where Wendell stood on a ledge just outside, attempting to coax Jaden through. Zell thrust with his sword, his blade's own weight and edge meeting the call to battle as it punctured the midsection of one of the fallen, the larger of the 2 by his quick guess. As the stricken attacker screamed, the other scrambled away from Zell. The other 2 men barged in before he could think to pursue. Neither of the 2 men still standing paid the least attention to their fallen comrade, aside from stepping over him. Zell could not make out the weapons they held, and decided to retreat a step to remove the helm. "Give, boy, you live," said the man, who shifted from a blue-white source to a Feru warrior in Zell's vision. The man was lanky and shorter than Zell, armed with a long knife and a leather sap. It seemed a poor bargaining position to Zell's thinking. The fellow was not even armored. The other assailant, still on his feet, was Tikalish, brawny and wore a bushy beard. He hung behind his fellow, whatever weapon he wielded carefully concealed from Zell's view. Zell swatted away a knife thrust with the helm in his hand. The Feru barely managed to deflect Zell's sword with his sap as he ducked under it. As the Feru ducked, Zell noticed that the weapon that the Kalish attacker had been concealing was a pistol. "Gouge that whore son Tinker's eyes out. Tanner and his kind can take their pistols and..." Zell could think of no clever use for pistols in the midst of battle with one trying to get a clear shot at him. It was an old-style weapon, nothing like the fancy one Tanner had bought. But Zell blamed the mad Tinker for their spread nonetheless. Zell changed his plan of attack. While the Feru fighter continued to try to bury a hand's length of steel in his gut, Zell spent most of his time dodging to spoil the pistolier's aim. It was like a children's tree chase, except the tree was trying to stab him, and the other player to shoot him. Zell heard rather than saw the third man alive was sneaking past him toward the window. All would be for naught if the boy was caught anyway, but Zell could do neither Jaden nor Wendell any good as a target dummy filled with pistol shot. "Look out!" Zell shouted, hoping to both alert Wendell and distract his attackers. He threw his magical helm as hard as he could left-handed, missing the Feru and briefly spoiling the pistolier's aim. He charged forward, reckless but in need of reckless haste. The knife caught him full in the gut, but there was enough blubber behind his mail to absorb the blow and keep the blade from piercing. His own sword slid through the Feru's chest. Zell took the dying man by the collar as a shield, and ram both, plowing toward the Tikalish with the pistol and forcing him back into the hallway. A panic shot pierced through Zell's shield to thump against his mail, its deadly force spent on a dead man. The wall across from the room came too quickly for the Tikalish assailant to dodge, reload, or draw another weapon. The 2 men and a corpse crashed together, with Zell's sword adding another bit of meat to its credentials as a skewer. 1 man and 2 corpses tumbled in a heap to the floor. Zell looked back to the room and saw that the last remaining assailant, a burly Keshi in armor much like Soria's, had caught Jaden by the arm.
"No!"
Zelisan heard the scream from outside in Wendell's voice. His own voice was caught still in his throat.
Where did it go?
Jaden wondered. He looked out the window and there were so many things to see.
Too many things. Where did it go? I don't see it. I should be able to see it from here. It went through here. I saw it.
Jaden looked down, thinking to start a closer search from the ground, but pulled back.
Too far. Not going down that way.
He knew he could go down out the door and down the stairs to get outside as well, but then he would not be able to see where it should be. Anything could happen to it while he was looking elsewhere.
Got you, a strange man said.
Indeed, the stranger was correct as well. Jaden saw that the man, who had blue eyes, blonde hair, and a braided blonde beard, two small scars on his left cheek, leather armor set with 113 metal studs, probably 230 if the patterns matched in back and on the side he could not quite see, a belt with two small pouches, one that jingled with coins but probably did not contain the coin he was looking for, a dagger in a sheath, leather pants that did not have any studs at all, and shoes that were made up of woven leather straps. He was very interesting, but Jaden needed to find his coin. He pulled, trying to get back to the window. The man was too strong.
Let me go,
Jaden meant to shout, but neglected to put voice to it. It came out as a whining scream.
Let me go, let me go.
Jaden felt himself handled roughly, spun around and pulled tight against the strange man. He heard the dagger slide free of its sheath.
Keep back, you let me go with boy, the man said.
No, I'm not going with you. I have a coin to look for and magic to learn. I am very busy.
Jaden was feeling increasingly trapped. The man's hold on him was making it hard to breathe.
You only get paid if the boy lives. I know it and you can't deny that, Zelisan said.
What a weird job he has.
Oh, maybe, maybe. But can you deny I need to get away quick? No time. I run with boy now or I kill boy and run. Move aside.
Jaden felt the dagger press against his neck, the flat of the blade forcing his chin up.
Too close, too close. Dangerous. Please stop.
Jaden's mind raced about, looking to escape his dreadful helplessness.
Pull. Draw.
The voice was familiar, but not his own.
Kill.
He knew the voice. It was his other mind, the one he tucked away, the one with the eyes that opened in the magic world.
Wendell told me to push you away, to leave you alone and stay here. Pull his source. It will work. You saw. You know.
Jaden had seen it. He did know. It was easy. The dagger at his throat fell away. The arm crushing him against the stranger's body went limp. Jaden stumbled and fell over the stranger as the dead weight of that arm overbalanced him. He looked down and the stranger was dead. There was a hole where his life belonged. Jaden had stolen it. It burned.
Take the burning inside you. Put it somewhere else. Do it now before it hurts you.
The voice had shown quite convincingly that it knew what it was talking about.
Thank you, Anzik.
Jaden remembered the voice's name as the stranger's corpse, and much of the room around them, caught fire.